Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Tune in to Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and practitioner who's helped thousands transform their lives. Part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff will lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Hi, welcome to the Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff show. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host. You can listen to Heart Living on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday at 2 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Boston and worldwide. You may listen online or on your mobile devices. To learn more, go to dreamvision7radio.com for a full schedule. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is a media partner for Omega Institute. Thank you for tuning in. Our topic today is creating effective relationships. Our life centers on so many different types of relationships. And throughout our lives, it is in relationship that we heal ourselves. So I'd like to start by talking about what contributes to a healthy relationship. And then, of course, we'll talk much more about the power of honest and direct communication, kind of the laws of healthy partnerships, and so on. So many issues, but all centered around this idea of a healthy relationship. So I guess for starters, in healthy relationships, we deal with what is called interdependence. So when you're interdependent, it means you can be dependent, but also independent. And the combined sort of feature here is that by being dependent and independent, we call it interdependent. Because if you're constantly feeling dependent, that may be termed more codependency. Again, ideas that we will look at shortly. So in healthy relationships, we deal with interdependence, we deal with communication, and we'll talk about effective communication. We also deal with trust. In fact, you must have trust and respect. And finally, we generally deal with commitment, all of which, each one of these are critical to understand if you want to have a healthy relationship. Now, we also find ourselves needing to handle conflict and difficult situations as we go along in relationships. And sometimes we find ourselves in these situations and end up having to figure out strategies for bringing greater peace into our relationship lives. We also repeat themes with other people that we need to work through, really themes that may have even occurred earliest in our childhood, but we have to repeat them with other people so that we can heal ourselves and also help them heal themselves because we're doing this together. And what about who we end up in relationship with in our lives, you know, family, friends, intimate partners, and so on? I think there's no mistake the people we end up with, or at least we have passage time with. And finally, a loving relationship really allows people to engage in a form of power that brings out a certain intimacy. And the word intimacy, you know, realness and all of that, but intimacy is really best thought of as the three words into, me, see. And you're able each to see into the other, so there's an honesty, a realness, a fairness, and all of that. And all of that, of course, leading to a kind of balance amongst the people in relationship. So at any given time, you can ask yourself three important questions in regard to yourself in a relationship. And I actually have asked these many times in the classes that I've taught. So I'll have you think about these as we work today. The first one would be, what does the other person, the one you're in relationship with. Now, again, this doesn't have to be an intimate partner. It could be your mother. It could be a neighbor. But what does this other person really need to learn and understand for their own well-being? That would be the first question. What does this other person really need to understand and learn for their own well-being? Second question, what do I really need to learn and understand for my own well-being? And the third question, what does our relationship need for growth and continued love? So what does our relationship need for growth and continued love? So strong, healthy relationships can really be one of the best supports that we would ever have in our lives. And a really good connection can improve all aspects of life, even strengthening our health and inspiring us with greater life value and greater meaning. Yet, if a relationship isn't working, it can also be a tremendous drain and have, of course, negative effects on us. And I think all of this relates to what we'll be talking about today. So, throughout our lifetime, we're going to engage, as I mentioned when we started, in many different kinds of relationships, whether they're personal and or professional. And we really need the challenges that relationships provide us and, of course, the lessons that they teach us. And most important, it's through relationships that we grow, because it is through relationships that we experience lessons of what would be called love and power. More than in any other way, we learn about love and power. And this leads us to an important principle, and that is that power and love are basic forces in every type of social interaction. So think about it for a minute. Power and love are basic forces in every type of social interaction. So, of course, then they would be basic forces in all types of relationships. So throughout our lives, each of us will have lots of opportunities to engage in different kinds of relationships in order to learn more and more about power and love, and ultimately really about holding on to our own power, birthing our own power, and of course loving ourselves as well. So while our class focus in this hour will be primarily on looking closely at ourselves, you know, and looking at personal relationships, many of the ideas and principles that we will talk about in this hour can apply to relationships at work, with friends, family members, and finally, you know, of course, intimate partners. So you may have had times in your life when you felt powerless, powerful, loved, or unloved, right? We've been on all the different extremes. And as a child, you may have even felt overly protected, or as some of my clients have told me, they even felt they weren't protected at all, and in some cases even abandoned. And then as a teenager, you know, perhaps you've had issues with best friends because we're growing, we're learning, we're exploring what it means to have a boyfriend, a girlfriend, friends in general, whatever it is. So, you know, you're going to have all these different experiences throughout your life. And you may meet someone whom you give your life over to fully, only to be, you know, left again. So one day, let's say you go through an experience and you respond differently because you've gained new awareness and you've become wiser. Throughout your life, you're constantly going to be making choices and learning. And we grow by all these different lessons that cause us to look at our relationships and ourselves and how, you know, we hold on to our power, how we give and receive love. So we've said before that the earth has often been viewed as a school, and the idea is that we're here to take classes in order to learn and grow. And certainly these relationships provide the challenges, so they become kind of a, much like a class would be, as an excellent way to learn. And relationships also, I guess there would be three pointers I want to say that are important to remember about relationships. First of all, they provide an arena that I've already mentioned that helps you to grow. But also this arena helps you to, or it promotes rather, your maturity. And it promotes your wisdom, because we become wiser with all the different lessons. And people also, at least in my opinion, always seem to partner up with the perfect other people for each other, you know, so each can learn their life lessons. It seems like 9 times out of 10 people will say there's no mistake that I met this individual or that I ended up, you know, living with, working with, and so on, this individual. And finally, really of all issues and lessons, power and love are primary, because if there's anything that helps you advance the growth of your soul, it's your access to power and love that probably does that the most. So how does all this play out in our lives? Well, often in our personal as well as workplace dynamics, we engage in different kinds of struggles, and I guess you could call them power struggles, and they could be similar to ones we experienced when we were growing up, like in our family of origin. And maybe we repeat a theme or a dynamic that we remember from our childhood, even though we don't think we're setting that up to learn something. We probably, in fact, it's coming around so that we can learn something. So even if we don't create the situation on purpose, or at least not consciously, these experiences seem to happen, and they just help us heal our childhood wounds. So, you know, we end up being attracted to these kind of people that will help us with those wounds, and we seem to be attracted to certain situations, which become the perfect situations to engage in. I guess you really would call it a healing kind of story or drama. So it's through this reenactment that we become wiser, that we understand more, and we would never have been able to have that kind of understanding as a child without, you know, a later development of it as an adult. So I think the important thing to note is it's not the repetition of the wound situation that heals us. For example, you were wounded, you were betrayed when you were a child, and then later in life you get betrayed again. It's not the repetition of the wound. It's responding differently and with greater power as an adult than you had as a child that you actually heal. So now, what about the energy we feel with other people? You know, sometimes, and I'm sure this has been the case for you, I know it has for me, a relationship with a person may carry a very strong, almost a feeling of an energy or charge, because the person himself or herself carries an energy greater than themselves. And sometimes we would call that actually an archetypal energy, archetypal. So someone may carry an archetypal energy that we're very much drawn to. So the energy is greater than just themselves, and our energy may be greater than ourselves. And somehow it's like the two of us hook something in each other. So we know that our personalities are formed by both our nature and by nurture. And, you know, two siblings in the same household could have completely different outcomes. And no one's childhood also was really without issues. And some of the common issues in childhood would be things we'd already mentioned, like abandonment or betrayal. But I've also found in working with people in coaching that some have experienced loss early on, people leaving or even just a death in the family, some form of abuse, mental, emotional, physical, neglect in some cases, unfortunately, even isolation, where they felt they couldn't depend on anyone and felt somewhat invisible in the family. But throughout our lives, we're going to have repeated opportunities for what we need to master, let go of, or to heal. So let's look at an example. Whatever our wounded issue is, it's possible that we may meet someone who appears to be the opposite of that wounding energy. In other words, someone who seems to dote on us or really make us feel special and cared for, and the very last thing we think is going to happen would be that they would leave us or abandon us in some way. Then ironically, as the relationship plays out or the situation plays out, we might find ourselves being wounded and, like I said, just not expecting it at all. So how does this experience help us to master or let go of something or heal ourselves? Well, here's the answer to that. During or after the event, first of all, you perhaps realize that no matter what, you're going to be okay. So you don't feel as powerless as you felt when something like that happened when you were younger. Two, you get to feel more and more solid in yourself. And finally, you speak your truth or just stand up for yourself. And three, you learn more about what you actually need. You know, in other words, the more you go through these opportunities or these situations or challenges, you look for a different type of partner in the future. And then you could say, but, you know, how did this happen? Well, in regard to love and power, it might be important to know that there are different psychological terms. In fact, I'm going to mention two, and what they mean so that you can understand the dynamics that play out with power and love. And here's the first term. It would be the term projection. Now, there is a theory in psychology in which humans defend themselves by denying their own inner feelings or behavior while attributing it to others. It'd be like saying, projection could be like a rude person saying, oh, others are so rude. So not owning what they are doing or what they're about, but projecting it onto someone else. And why would somebody do this kind of projection? Well, if you can't accept your own desires, thoughts, feelings, anger, whatever it is, you may place it outside yourself. In other words, you may suggest that someone else is carrying that energy. And I guess the question I would have for you to think about would be, was there a time when you connected with someone and that person had issues with you that you just could not figure out, like they, you felt like you did not know where they were coming from, or you seemed to conjure something up in them, and it hadn't occurred to you that could happen, and you don't know where it came from, so, or vice versa, okay? So here would be an example of us projecting. So we meet someone, and we decide that they're really wonderful in a certain way, okay? We're attracted to a certain quality that we see in them. So number one, maybe they are what they are, what we are projecting them to be. So maybe they really do carry the quality we're projecting. Or two, we assume they are that way, okay? So we could assume that they are carrying that certain quality. And sometimes what happens is we may see the potential in the other person and project possibilities in our mind. So it could be a potential we're seeing, but not really a performance that we're seeing. And that's really important. So we end up in relationship with that person and, you know, what we see as a person's potential rather than ever seeing them manifest the performance of it. So we assume they are a certain way because it has appeared that way, and then later we find that, in fact, they're really not that way at all. So the person's performance doesn't equal the potential that we're projecting. And I guess here's the key. When this happens, it may leave us feeling as though the other person doesn't care about us, doesn't want to do well, when in fact, you know, we may be caught up in our own projection and desire rather than the reality of who the person even is. So that's one way things can go awry in a relationship and how, you know, things can happen. The second is what's called a psychological complex. So let me explain this. This refers to a core pattern that can occur in someone when emotions, memories, perceptions come up in response to something. And this something would be like a trigger or whatever. And the perceptions that come up are organized around a theme. So complexes may be conscious or unconscious, or, you know, positive or negative. And it's normal to have complexes because everyone has emotional experiences that affect them. So here's another example. Let's say your uncle was abusive, teased you in front of others when you were growing up, and you were the brunt of the uncle's jokes. And this is what plays out. You get a job, you meet your new boss, and for some reason, almost automatically, you just don't feel like you can trust him. Well, subconsciously, not consciously, but subconsciously, you're unaware that he physically resembles your uncle. You know, maybe he's got a similar build, similar eyes, something. So you project feelings that he might be abusive, and you start getting in a complex only because of that one subconscious trigger in you as related to the uncle that, you know, you were the brunt of the jokes. So just take a moment to think of a time when you might have gotten into what is called a psychological complex. And when we do that, it may have nothing to do with the situation in reality. You know, that person would not, we wouldn't be the brunt of their jokes at all. But this is the way it seems to be as a psychological complex. Now, issues of power and love, again, are going to play out throughout our lives. And this will happen because sometimes you're going to feel really powerful or powerless. You may feel like the other person wants to take your power, or maybe you want to take theirs, right? So I think the most important note I have about that is always to work on yourself. You know, so many times people want to change the other person, but what's most important is always to work on yourself rather than to try to get someone to like you or change for you or whatever. You know, and if you work on yourself, you're never going to regret it. If you spend a lot of your energy trying to get somebody to change, I have met so many people who told me they've done that as far as coaching clients, and almost always they feel as though, you know, it was a loss compared to what they should have been doing, which was really focusing on what they were about. So if you do focus on the other person more than you focus on yourself, the problem also is that it can create what would be termed a value on the relationship that's far beyond what it may actually, this relationship may actually be able to provide. So you can see that too. Now, why are we energetically so attracted to somebody? I want to give you a little bit more information about that. You see, each of us, every one of us, has what is called a disowned self, like you don't own it, disowned self. And we often attract our disowned selves to us in the form of other people. Well, the disowned self is an important concept in psychology. And another term for it you may be more familiar with is it's called the shadow self. So what is the shadow self, the disowned self? It's the part of you that you don't see in yourself. So when I talked about the rude person earlier, calling other people rude, you know, not seeing their own rudeness. So it's something that you might not see in yourself. It could be something that you know is there, but you just won't own it. Or it could be something that you don't allow yourself to feel. Like, what if I have a lot of rage, but I don't evidence that, I don't show that anger at all, and yet that would be my shadow self. So I may attract people who have that rage, that I may attract them to myself since I'm not owning my own shadow. So again, this is really interesting how the dynamics work out. And if you're a strong over-functioner, even a very responsible type of person, for example, you could attract an under-functioner or a less responsible type. That would be one example. So it's time for a break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is a media partner for Omega Institute. For more information, go to dreamvision7radio.com. We'll be back shortly for further tips on creating effective relationships.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, International Life Coach and Energy Medicine Practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book, have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. For more details, go to dreamvision7radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
Join us every Wednesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Join us in May and we'll waive the daily fees. Located in Rhinebeck, in New York's beautiful Hudson Valley, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 877-944-2002. That's 877-944-2002.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dream Vision 7 Radio. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff of the Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff Show. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is a media partner for Omega Institute. Our topic is creating effective relationships. So prior to the break, we talked about the disowned self, we talked about the shadow self, and here we were talking about a part of you that maybe you don't see in yourself, you don't own, or that you just don't allow yourself to feel. I had mentioned before the break that, you know, if you're a strong over-functioner, you may attract an under-functioner. And, or if you don't allow yourself to make a request or have a need, you might even attract needy people to yourself. If you're more uptight, maybe you'll attract someone who's more relaxed and so on. So the idea is that often energetically, we attract someone who carries, it's called, our disowned self. Well, why does this happen? So what we disown in ourselves, as I said, we often draw to ourselves. And it's as though something in us knows that we need more balanced energy. So rather than change ourselves, we attract someone to us, let's say, to balance something that's actually in us. And that really is probably the best way to say it. We're attracting someone to us to balance something in us. And sometimes in this kind of situation, we can also do what is called polarize another person. In other words, we might become the extreme of someone else. I guess what comes to my mind, one time I was working with a couple, and one person was completely focused on the finances, and the other one had, like, no care about the finances. And what I thought was interesting is that, you know, when you get the lesson or you become more balanced, you may actually no longer need at least that issue in the relationship. In some cases, depending on what the issues are, you might not even need the relationship. But I know in this case, the couple, the one too focused on finances and not focused at all, as they were really polarizing each other in, as extremes. And as one person moved in a little bit, the other came in a little bit. So, you know, you really want to look at when there are extremes, how to kind of come into a more middle ground that can be very healthy for a relationship. So what is considered a healthy picture? When partners equally share their power, it creates for satisfying partnerships, happier individuals, and so on. And I think equality is the passport to trust and honesty and intimacy, no doubt about it, if people are feeling like there's a certain amount of equity in the relationship, perceived equity. So what is trust? Well, a firm belief. And I love this actual thought. Trust would be a firm belief in the reliability of somebody, so you could depend upon them. And I think honesty, when people are honest with each other, it creates trust. So, you know, again, what is intimacy? Well, it's into me, see, remember. So a state of extreme interpersonal, emotional closeness. Let's say people are really emotionally close and, you know, there's this extreme closeness. So each person's personal space can be entered and there's no discomfort, okay? So then you would feel like there was a firm reliability in the person and a kind of trust with that person. And also what people are doing when they do allow themselves to be in that kind of situation, they're attempting to create a deeper understanding of each other. And of course, in turn, it's going to give them a deeper understanding of themselves. So when you can see into the other person, remember intimacy, see into the other person and vice versa. How else can you gain trust in relationships? You can be consistent. In fact, I'm going to say a few things that I think will be important to this because so often people take that for granted. But if you lose trust, you've lost everything. So to gain trust, be consistent, okay? Be on time. Being on time is important because when you're not on time, you're sending a message. This will happen once in a while when somebody's late. That will definitely happen. But if it's consistently a problem, it sends a message to the other person that you're not valuing their time. Another one, do what you say you will do. Just the sheer integrity of things so that they know they can count on you. You want to be fair, you know, even in an argument, to be fair. Be sensitive to the other person's feelings. So does it mean you can't disagree? No, you can still disagree, but you wouldn't discount how the person was feeling. So even if you don't agree with them, you know, you still want to find out, are you okay? You know, you don't want to discount their feeling. I think calling when you say you will call, go back to do what you say you'll do. If you're running late, call to say I'm running late. These are just respectful things to do. When things go wrong, don't overreact. Think more in terms of we can work through this, we can work things through. I guess another one I've found with working with people over the years is don't say things you can't take back, because that sometimes can be, you know, really, really a problem. When people shout out and say something in anger that they, I had a father and his son not long ago where that happened, and the father said, oh, how I wish I could take back what I said. But, you know, you can't take it back, and you can work it through, but it tings the person's heart. And don't dig up old wounds just to be hurtful. Respect boundaries, you know, be a good listener. These are just a few of many ways to gain trust in the relationship. But for a relationship to be healthy, to work, again, go back to the equality piece. There has to be, I think successful relationships depend upon something called perceived equity. And perceived equity, equalness, you could say, and again, perceived, is that both people have to feel like things are fair and there is an equality. And they may not be doing the same thing for each other. They may not be, like one might have, you know, one way to contribute to the relationship and the other a completely different way, but both have to feel it's fair and it's equal. So compatibility, happiness, all of that depends on finding somebody who can offer you what you need most and whose deeper needs you meet. You know, it's not all about you and it's not all about them. There's got to be that equitable arrangement. And of course, no relationship is perfect. We're all human. But certain qualities have to be present for a relationship to work. So these qualities that I'm going to say give you the perceived equity are, first of all, trust, that firm reliability in somebody. The second one I would say is sincerity. So the honesty part, you know, so you're being honest and there's no pretension. Nobody's pretending. So sincerity is, you know, free from pretending and basically just being honest. Respect is key. And that to me is valuing and honoring each other. So I value and honor you, you value and honor me. And finally, fairness, which is that we're honoring each other's needs and overall equity in the overall relationship. So if these qualities, especially trust, that's really important, are not present, my experience has been the relationship will probably not likely have a realistic future. And that leads to another idea, which is a mark of maturity. Like, what does that mean? But it's believed to be a mark of maturity to accept your past and the lessons it has given you, and to no longer blame your current circumstances on your past. Okay, so you're not blaming your current circumstances on the past. Basically, what we're saying is you let go of being a victim. You're not, you know, going to be a victim in any way. And in maturity, eventually you decide whether the good points about a person will make up for what you're perceiving, let's say, to be the imperfections. And if that is so, you engage in acceptance. And you know, you really need to get to that acceptance place. I guess there are a few other terms that are important, and one is tolerance. You know, tolerance is important too, because with tolerance, you're able to step outside of your own set of needs and have an understanding and empathy for the other person, and of course, as well as for yourself. But eventually, though, there is also discernment. You have to decide whether or not the relationship does, in fact, offer you fairness and so on. And discernment is different from judgment, because discernment is like, this is what I need and this is meeting my needs or not and that kind of thing. It's a little bit more of an observation and an objective quality than judgment would be. You also have to evaluate the level of comfort that you feel in that relationship. Can you express yourself authentically? And I think not only accept the other person, but feel that you, of course, are accepted as well. So the bottom line is, without acceptance and tolerance and trust and comfort and all these things we've been talking about, the relationship probably will not progress with a solid foundation. So think of every relationship as needing a solid foundation. and commitment factors in, because at some point in every relationship, it's necessary for the two people to be sure they are uniting on the same terms. Now, I'm not saying they have to commit to becoming married. I'm not saying they have to commit to being, you know, ever-ending friends. But they have to commit to be sure they're uniting on the same terms, that they're each is sure of what the other's commitment to each other is, whether that's friendship, relationship, or whatever. And a great exercise that I often have my clients do in classes is to evaluate a relationship that you're in or have been in and look at it based on the necessary stages of those words we've mentioned. So think of it, in this relationship, how are we with acceptance, with trust, with commitment, tolerance, and with comfort? That would be very, very helpful. So now let's get into what I call the metaphysics of relationships. So in metaphysics, or you might term it the study of the soul, there are specific ideas about how our relationships contribute to our growth in general. And there are a few interesting ideas about personal relationships, especially love relationships, that I want to share with you. And this is something I learned. I have a PhD in metaphysics, and I learned this in a program that I took, that in love relationships, there's some metaphysical principles, so let me share those with you. Number one, they said, no relationship stands still. Now, this sounds like it's so simple, but it's really not, because so many times people are married for years and years and years and never think about the idea that, you know, this partnership, this relationship that we have, you know, we think it stays the same for 30 years, but that's not true. So in metaphysics, it's believed that a relationship is always either growing and developing or it is declining. Isn't that interesting? So growing, developing, or declining. So again, no relationship is standing still. The second one, again, metaphysics of relationships. The more you need a relationship, again, the more you need a relationship, the less energy you bring to it cosmically. I really believe that's true. So the more you need it, the less you're actually bringing to it cosmically, the less you're offering it, you might say. And what is cosmic energy? Well, it's a sense of wonder, awe, depth, that type of thing. It's actually something that makes the relationship hold some sort of general archetypal or universal energy. So it's very important to a relationship to have that. So it is time again for a break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is a media partner for Omega Institute. For more information, go to dreamvision7radio.com. We'll be back for further tips on creating effective relationships.
Join us every Wednesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, International Life Coach and Energy Medicine Practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book. Have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. For more details, go to dreamvision7radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dream Vision 7 Radio. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff of the Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff show. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is the media partner for Omega Institute. Our topic is creating effective relationships. So we were talking about the metaphysical principles of relationships. I mentioned the first one was no relationship stands still. It's either growing and developing or declining. Then I said the more you need a relationship, the less you bring to it. And, of course, I was talking about cosmic energy. So let me say another thing besides those three. There's another one. Cosmic energy is important that the partner brings something to the relationship that's cosmic, or the relationship will feel empty. And that leads us to what are good relationships fueled by. Well, they're fueled by self-sufficiency. See, the more you're able to really hold your own, that independence piece, and then interdependence being the outcome. But anyway, self-sufficiency, honesty and trust, and each person's comfort, ironically, with themselves. If you're feeling good about you, you're comfortable with you, you're going to bring a whole better, you know, piece to that relationship than if you're needy and you feel down on yourself, your self-esteem is low. So again, good relationships are fueled by self-sufficiency, honesty, trust, and truly the comfort level with yourself. So what are the secrets of relationships that empower us? Because in addition to that, in the metaphysics class that I took, we talked about that. Well, the secret to generating growth in love relationships, it's a no-brainer, and it is for both people to remain open to learning, for one, to changing, and to growing. And if you really think about it, that is really, when I see people and I feel like they're in a good place in their lives, in a partnership, or even with a best friend, if there's a certain amount of learning, changing, and growing, and both people are into it and okay with it, that's when you're going to have more growth going on in those relationships. I think it's important also to know the second little secret is that a relationship is truly like a business. Because if one individual in any kind of relationship is, I don't know, say too demanding of what? Energy, too demanding of attention, but mostly energy and attention probably, or they incur too high a debt overall, okay? It is like a business. It's likely to fail. So you have to watch that kind of thing, what you're demanding of another person. Many people actually forever seek and expect from a partner what they actually have to do for themselves. And that's, you know, an interesting statement, but so true, that many people seriously seek and expect from someone else what they really have to end up doing for themselves. So it's just so important what we learn. And each of us is also generally looking for someone who's going to be a companion to some extent and to provide a level of comfort, right? Now, you know what I also learned that I love so much is that when you're in a partnership, especially in an intimate relationship, it should be that each of us is helping the other person fulfill the true purpose of their lives. And that was something I did not ever put in those words, but I always thought was powerful, that if I'm in a partnership and it's an effective partnership, then I should be helping that person person fulfill the true purpose of their lives as they help me fulfill the true purpose of my life. It's just such a beautiful concept. And what is our true purpose, by the way? Well, our true purpose, you know, be the best version of ourselves, but it's also been said to be able to love and be loved, while I guess you could say making a positive contribution to society, but again, being the best version of us in that positive contribution. So finally, I guess another important note is that it is counterproductive to your soul anyway, to form a relationship or even to remain in one in which the other person is detrimental to the pursuit of your purpose. So again, it's counterproductive to your soul to form a relationship or remain in one if the other person is detrimental to the pursuit of your purpose. And you could really see how that makes sense. So, you know, you would be really in relationship with someone that's probably counterproductive to you, to your growth. So while each person in a relationship has a communication style, their relationship also can take on its own communication style. I always tell people, you know, person A and person B, that there are really three things going on. There's person A, person B, and then the relationship is like C. It's there too and has to be looked at as an entity because we've created that in that relationship. So remember, we communicate through our words and our behavioral style, and we give other people, especially our partners, we give them messages all the time through, let's say, number one, just through how we respond in general to life or through how we respond to them specifically. And then finally, if we have certain expectations that we hold about life or about the other person, well, again, that's a communication too. And I think over time, people will meet our expectations. So it's better to desire something from the person and encourage the person to manifest that than it is to be in a relationship with someone that we're frustrated with, and I have this happen all the time. People will say, well, I'm just really not good about this relationship for this reason. And it's generally an expectation that they believe the person can't meet. So, you know, again, all of that would be important. So how can you improve your communication overall, especially, you know, to others that are important to you? Listening and speaking are the basic communication skills, of course, that we use every day. And I taught at three different universities, but the one more recently was Oldham University, and I taught communication skills both in the business school and just in regular English classes. And at that time that I was teaching communication skills, we talked about starting with just basic listening and how we can evaluate ourselves by asking ourselves questions. So I'll tell you a few that I mentioned in classes. You know, have you had times when you were in a conversation with someone and your mind kept wandering off while they were speaking? Or if the person was speaking to you, you were thinking about your response instead of focusing on what the person was actually saying in the moment? Or, you know, maybe you jumped in with your own ideas while the other person was still speaking to you, which would have felt interruptive or just like you were ignoring what the other person said. So, again, hearing and listening are two different things. And I think it's important that we create a kind of empathy in ourselves, for ourselves, but also for others. And premise number one to just creating empathy is, of course, that everybody's valuable and special, you know, not just you, but everyone is. So I guess a first step would be to recognize and honor your own value, your own dignity. You know how they say if you don't believe in your own value, you can't expect someone else to really care about you or value you either. And you have to, at least because we are what we think, we have to think more positively about ourselves and let go of any inner critic who is, you know, perhaps still holding on to you as a hostage. And I have heard people actually say things like that. So honor and recognize, value your own dignity. Another step, the value and dignity of the other person, not just yourself. So as we begin to recognize that we're fellow travelers and teachers on the planet, and we remember that people are going to meet our expectations of them, if you do get annoyed, I learned this simple formula that I've taught before, and I'm going to tell you the four words that it involves. Pause, reflect, adjust, and act. So basically, let me explain it. So if you are getting annoyed, you want to pause. And when you pause, you're just, you know, you're kind of doing a little timeout for yourself so you don't get annoyed. Just pause. And then as you pause, reflect. Okay, what's the bigger picture here? What's actually going on? Am I doing a psychological projection? You know, what is happening? And then the next step is to adjust. So if that's just adjust your delivery, adjust how you're listening, adjust what you're saying, but just adjust. And then finally, once you adjust your mind, your attitude, whatever that is, then you act differently or you take action. So pause, reflect, adjust, and act. So, and then decide also why a difficult person is in your life. You know, they may be in your life so that you can actually open your heart more, grow your heart to be open to a more unconditional kind of positive regard toward that person, and really ultimately toward yourself. And Dr. Carl Jung had such wonderful words and information that he gave us in Jungian psychology. But anyway, he said, look in the mirror to see if you need to change something about yourself. So, you know, such as overcome your own fear, your own anger, jealousy, impatience, and so on. But what you want to attempt to create is called empathic awareness. That's really what we want to do. We want to be more empathic toward others as well as empathic toward self. And you want to think of each day, a special encounter with a person or whomever, as a day just to see the other person as a way to learn, you know, like a unique opportunity to grow. As I mentioned, open your heart, be more empathic. And I think an unexpected benefit of this level of awareness, empathic awareness, is that when we reach to understand and relate to another person, we actually go deeper into our own heart. So that's just extremely important. So, you know, looking overall, so one last thing I want to say is that sometimes people feel the need in a relationship to be a fixer, and it would be important to know that sometimes other people, when they tell you what's going on, you might see yourself as a trained fixer, like they wouldn't be telling me this if they didn't expect me to fix it. But honestly, most of the time, people just want you to listen. And if you offer your fix-it solution without showing how you understand their feelings, they will feel, in some cases, even annoyed. So again, most of the time, they just want you to listen. And just by listening, you actually may even help them more. So you empower them more by listening also than even doing for them, which would be important to remember. So when you do have this empathic awareness, you're going to quiet your mind, focus, listen openly, and listen through the words to deeper thoughts and feelings that you could sense from the other person. But I feel like if you do that and you participate with acceptance, honesty, integrity, and so on, then you will certainly go well and go far in having effective relationships. Now, as we draw to a close on our show, I want to thank you for sharing your hearts with me in this hour, and I encourage you to visit my website at heartliving.com and my Facebook page, facebook.com/heartliving. I have Zoom classes. The Heart Living Hour is on every week, Wednesday night, 7 to 8, Thursday, 12 to 1. You sign up by the month, and there's a different topic every month. We're doing boundaries in September. We're going to be doing wonderful information about daily living, more positive daily living next month. So if you go to the website, heartliving.com, you will see that, and also a Heart Living Academy. My book, which is called On Wings of Hope, Leading Lily Home, did come out in December, and it's making wonderful, you know, leeway with all the different wonderful things, and people are commenting. I've got great reviews. You can buy it on Amazon, but check out heartliving.com, and you'll find more information about that. So I encourage you to live the Heart Living motto, which is to lead from your heart with passion and purpose, take new action, hold a positive view. And in closing, I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for the Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff show. You can listen to my show on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday at 2 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Boston and worldwide. To learn more, go to dreamvision7radio.com for a full schedule. Dream Vision 7 radio network is a media partner for Omega Institute. Thanks so much for listening. I wish you the very, very best.
Thank you for tuning in to Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff to explore ways to live a more inspired and passionate life. Gain clarity, balance, and purpose as Cynthia guides you on an enlightening journey of personal transformation. For more information, find Cynthia at her website, heartliving.com, or on Facebook, facebook.com/heartliving.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.